Sound,
and the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
You're listening to a special broadcast from James Cusick of James on the West Coast as part of Access Day. I am going to do a special session. I am the host of James on the West Coast. And I have had a show on Civil Radio 101.7, and that was for almost 2 years. My show airs from the University of the Fraser Valley. I have autism, Asperger's, and have been learning to live with it. I love music, and so on my show, which plays once a month, I always have a combination of music and talk. I love playing the piano and play by ear. I am a savant over the last couple of years. I've had many people on the show who have special needs or who work with people who have special needs. My brother Brian Cusick helps run the show at the technical side and occasionally talks also. My show is meant to give people a voice with special needs. I am able to play my favorite music. Well, I won't talk for long for Access Day, but I thought I would talk about how someone in BC gets support from CLBC. CLBC is the main government organization in British Columbia, and all support for people who have special needs come through them. If you contact CLBC and need support, they will make sure you have a diagnosis or refer you to a doctor to get one. Once you are diagnosed with some kind of developmental disability, they will give you supports. CLBC gives you support to individuals providing the following. This is from the CLBC website. Residential, funding and the type of support provided depend upon the individual's current disability-related needs, support for preferences, and preferred home environment. Supported living. Supported living is a residential option that provides individuals living independently in the community with assistance in daily living. This service is available to individuals who own, lease, or rent their own homes. Support living services include outreach support and cluster living. Outreach support provides targeted hourly support to individuals through one-to-one on a group arrangements. Shared living. Shared living is a residential option in which an adult with a developmental disability shares a home with someone who is contracted in providing ongoing support. Within staffed residential support for daily living is provided to an individual or group of individuals by a team of staff who rotate through the home according to its established schedule that includes overnight hours. CLBC funds a variety of community inclusion options. These services are designed to support individuals who have rich lives within community. The amount of funding and type of support provided depend upon an individual's current disability-related needs, support preferences, and goals for inclusion. Employment. This service uses a variety of methods to ensure that individuals achieve employment within an integrated setting. This option includes supported employment, customized employment, and or self-employed options. Employment is a first priority for individuals served by CLBC. This service provides individuals with support to develop skills that are required for healthy, independent living. Support may be provided to individuals through one-on-one or group arrangements. Services are goal-based and time-limited. Community-based. This service is designed for individuals who require ongoing support to participate in community in a meaningful way. The service operates outside the individual participants' homes and is usually offered according to an established schedule that allows individuals to participate on a part-time or full-time basis. Respite. Respite provides families with a break from the challenges of caregiving. Families can use this service in a manner that best suits their unique circumstances. The service may be delivered in the family home, the home of a respite provider, or within the community. Direct funded. Direct funded, the respite is coordinated by families. The family recruits, screens, monitors, and plays for the delivery of respite services. Contracted. Contract respite is coordinated by a community-based agency. The agency recruits, screens, monitors, and plays the delivery of the respite services. Support for individuals and families. CLBC funds a range of services for those who support an adult family member with a developmental disability. Services are designed to enhance the individual's overall quality of life and to strengthen the family's ability to manage. Homemaker. Homemaker services are available to individuals who require basic housekeeping services or temporary personal care support coordination. This service is tailored to the unique needs of the individual or family. It may involve counseling, resource referral, education, training, scheduling, advocacy, or connecting people with peers in the community. The service is typically delivered through a community-based agency that is contracted by CLBC to oversee service. Support may be offered to an individual, a specific family member, an entire family, or family groups with similar needs. Well, that was a lot to read. Hope it was clear. So yeah, contact CLBC if you have a developmental disability to get more information on what supports are available. Also, everyone who has a developmental disability is entitled to monthly funding $1,133. Everyone with a disability is allowed to have an access card to go to movies. We pay for the movie and the support worker goes free to a company. There will also be the BC Bus Pass, which allows everyone with disabilities to travel on transit for free. Of course, more still needs to be done. A lot of homeless people have disabilities and are completely neglected. The cost of housing is way higher than the money average people make. Also, we have to be careful to always be kind when we see people with special needs. People are usually kind to me, but I have heard that others have been being bullied. Today and on Access Day, remember to smile at anyone who has special needs and make them feel included. For a long time in Canada, people with special needs were kept away and hid from the public. I am very grateful to see that public is becoming more including, making it easier for those with disabilities to fit in. Thank you, and here is a song from Glenn Gould, who had autism.
Now I have a song from a respected and inspirational singer, Justin Hines. He's a Canadian singer-songwriter and was born in Ontario. According to Wikipedia, he has a rare genetic joint condition called Larsen's syndrome and uses a power wheelchair. He is a strong supporter of numerous charities and has performed at many fundraising events. He founded the Justin Hines Foundation, a charitable foundation for people with disabilities. According to AllMusic.com, Justin Hines launched his music career at the age of 14 after winning a radio contest that resulted in the budding musician singing the national anthem at a Toronto Raptors basketball game. Hines continued to stay in the spotlight, performing on children's television programs and eventually releasing a debut album called Sides. His second record, 2009's Chasing Silver, included the hit song Say What You Will that I'm going to play now.
Be more than okay.
Hello, listeners. I'm Ravinder from Civil Radio 101.7 FM, broadcasting from University of the Fraser Valley, situated on the unceded traditional territory of the Stolo people, broadcasting to the Fraser Valley. Today is Access Day, and we have a special programming for that. We have a guest in the studio from UFV Accessibility Center. We are going to discuss about the services that UFV Accessibility Center provides to the students. We have Jody Noble with us. Jody has worked as an advisor in this center for many years, and she has recently promoted to the coordinator position. Hi, Jody. How are you today?
Hi, Ravinder. I'm doing well, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Good.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, yes. So I've been at UFV for about 4.5 years now, and I was in the role of an accessibility advisor. And most recently, like you had said, moved to the coordinator position. Previous to UFV, I've been working as an educational assistant in the New Westminster School District. So always involved with kind of advocacy and working with students with various disabilities. So always been quite passionate about that.
Oh, thank you, Jody. Mm-hmm. So what are the various facilities at UFV for students with disabilities?
Sure, great question. So there's a lot of different programming and services available for students with documented disabilities. So some students choose to work with our department, so the Center for Accessibility Services, and we've set them up with academic accommodations. So that helps remove any barriers that may be caused by any functional limitations from their disability, yeah, and helps them to be able to participate in classes. We also collaborate with other departments on campus just to make sure that any events that are happening are accessible and going to bring about diversity and, yeah, just kind of a comfortable environment for everyone. So the Center for Accessibility Services often refers students to other departments within UFV. Some of those departments consist of counseling, the Academic Success Center for peer tutoring, the Math and Stats Center for tutoring, and also the Peer Resource Leadership Center. That's just a few other departments to name. Okay, another simple step we can take to encourage accessibility at UFV, specifically in the classroom, would be to work with instructors around implementing teaching methods to reach all student learning styles. And this can really be helpful for all students, not just students with disabilities. So looking at learning styles consisting of visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and written and reading styles. So most often students may kind of lean towards a couple of the styles. So the kinesthetic, more the hands-on kind of practical components, students find they learn best in that way. So if instructors in collaboration with the CAS can bring about more diversity within the classroom as far as how the teaching is done, that can be really helpful. We also encourage instructors to be open about how students display their knowledge. So this can be done in a variety of methods. For example, if there's a student who uses sign language to communicate, it would be great if they could have the option of a written assignment rather than an oral presentation. Another example would be the high amount of testing that is done and shifting that to perhaps more written work or practical work, just because a lot of students experience test anxiety, which quite it can really interfere with their performance, so it's not a great assessment of their knowledge. Also, we can look at ways to create more accessible environments, so looking at the actual built environment and the space that students are in, so making sure that the lab space is set up for students that may be in wheelchairs or have walkers, looking at the washrooms, making sure that there is space for people to get in and out, again, with wheelchairs or any other mobility aids, ensuring Baker House is accessible. We can also look at the attitudinal barriers. So all of us probably come with some unconscious bias and judgment about students with disabilities and their abilities. So being self-aware of your biases and trying to remove them as much as we can and getting to know people for who they are. With new incoming students to UFE, that has brought about new student needs. So one service that we have added to the CAS kind of repertoire of services is orientation and mobility services. So that is for students who are blind or visually impaired, and it is a way for them to increase their independence around campus. So the orientation and mobility specialist would work with the student to teach them how to navigate the environment. So it is based on cues around the campus. So whether that be textures on the ground or sounds that they hear in their travels or smells. So perhaps passing through Tim Hortons, they may smell donuts. So that could be a consistent cue that they're on the right path. As well as any braille signage around campus. So it's really wonderful to see students being very determined to become independent, and that is fostered through work with the orientation and mobility specialist. So it's great we can be a part in providing that service to students.
Okay. Students can also ask for a special padded chair if they need it during the class. Do you have those chairs in the accessibility center, or are those chairs already available in every classroom?
So for now, I believe they're just within our department. Mm-hmm. And students request them based on kind of documentation, functional limitation needs.
Yeah.
So some students that maybe have more physical challenges or chronic health that need a bit more stability and padding in their seat, yeah. Then we can provide that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've also read that students with disabilities can also take special help during the exams, like they can ask for a scriber, reader, special computer, or software. Can you tell us a little bit about the softwares they use, like how those softwares help them?
Sure, yeah. So there's some pretty amazing technology or software programs out there for students to help with their learning. So the one we most commonly see used is called Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Okay.
And that's a program where the student would speak into a microphone.
Yeah.
And it would be transcribed right into the computer. So it's a speech-to-text program.
Okay.
So it's used for students that maybe don't have the fine motor skills to write.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way for them to still be able to communicate their thoughts and get it down through the computer. There's also programs that do the reverse. So it's called text-to-speech software. So that's for people that maybe have learning disabilities in reading, so maybe dyslexia. So it would take any written work on the computer and read it aloud. And there's quite a variety of different voices you can choose from. And you can slow down or speed up the voice. So maybe someone processes information a little bit slower, so you can slow it down. Mm-hmm. You can pause it. And it also highlights the words as they're being spoken. So it's a way people can follow along and sound out words if reading is a challenge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that one is called Natural Reader, mm-hmm. or Read Aloud. There's quite a lot of different software tools that provide that kind of text to speech.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of special computers they use?
So a lot of these software programs can be put on basic computers.
Okay.
There are some students who use Braille computers. So those are students who are visually impaired or blind. And so they actually read through Braille. So it's kind of a small, compact Braille Sense is the name of one. So the Braille Sense has a screen reader that is built in, and it translates the text in Braille, and the device displays it on its built-in Braille cells. And so the Braille cells are consisted of tiny little Braille dots, and they are displayed using metal or nylon pins. And so the Braille displays are refreshable, so meaning that when the user moves to a specific line or text, The device displays the text Braille equivalent. And so when the user moves to another line, the device automatically displays the new line in Braille. So it is automatically updating going down the line. And then most Braille displays have about 8 dots in each cell, and 6 dots are for the actual Braille character, while the 2 dots at the bottom are normally used to denote the cursor and navigate around. So it's a very complex system, but once students have mastered that, it's very quick for them to use it and edit and format various texts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's other software programs. One is called JAWS. Again, it's for students that are blind or visually impaired, and it reads out everything on the computer screen. So reading out the icons, and it describes where the mouse is located. So that's kind of a neat program for students as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that is very helpful for them.
Yes, it is.
And I've also read that you help those students in applying for the funds to the government.
Yes.
What types of funds they can apply for?
Yeah, so there's quite a variety of funding available for students. Specifically within the educational setting, the funding is done through Student Aid BC. So there's one fund called the Canada Student Grant. So that's a non-repayable grant of quite a substantial amount for students that have documented disabilities.
Okay.
And that money goes towards any education needs. And then there's also the BC Supplemental Bursary, which is also a great non-repayable bursary for students with documented disabilities. Mm-hmm. Then there's also the Canada Student Grant for Services and Equipment. And so that's services would be available, such as tutoring, learning strategy work, orientation and mobility specialist, any of those kind of additional services that happen outside of the classroom. And then it also covers equipment. So like we were talking about the various software programs, so that would be an avenue to access the funds for that. Okay, and there's also a bursary that is available for students who would like to get a psychoeducational assessment done. So that's a learning disability assessment. And that is often provided in high school, but the Ministry of Advanced Education has criteria as far as the dates of when that assessment is completed. So oftentimes when students come to post-secondary, it may be outdated, and if they want to receive accommodations, they will be required to get an updated one. So this is an avenue for them to access that assessment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they can also apply for funding on assistive technology.
Yes.
Can you explain that, please? I mean, what kind of technology is available for different needs? And how has this technology improved in your time at UFV or in the sector?
Great. So we did cover that a little bit just with the software programs. So we work with an agency called Assistive Technology BC.
Okay.
And they're located in Vancouver. And so students would apply for funding for equipment. So they can either apply through the loan bank or a granted program with Assistive Technology BC. Mm-hmm. And then they go through a little bit of an interview with a case manager there. And then we would collaborate with the student, the case manager, to figure out what kind of the student's functional limitations are, what their needs are, and create kind of a technology plan. So, for example, a student that maybe has a learning disability with written expression, they may be set up with a program called Kurzweil, and that's another software program. And it's aimed at helping people kind of mind map concepts to create an essay. So mm-hmm. if written expression is tough, kind of breaking it down into little pieces is kind of a good approach to go. And so that software can definitely help.
Yeah. Great. I've also read on UFV website that some students make course notes for their classmates. That is really good. So what is the exact process for that? Do you hire volunteers for writing notes, or you just ask their classmates to forward notes to you?
Yeah, so the note-taking process can be done in a few different ways. Sometimes students require specialized note-taking. So in those situations, we would have an outside student come in and provide notes, whether it be on the computer, and it might need to be in a larger format, a larger size, maybe a little bit bolder as well.
Yeah.
And then other times we will ask for volunteers in the class to provide their notes, which is a great opportunity for students to earn co-curricular record credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a nice way for them to contribute and help their classmates who have a disability.
Sure, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I know in classrooms, the first row seats are booked for students with disabilities. That is a great work you are doing for those students. I'm sure that is very helpful to learn better in the class. And I was also reading that students with special needs can use recorder in the class to record the lecture.
Yeah.
I know that they need to sign the form first that they can show to the instructor for taking permission to use the recorder. I mean, that is very helpful for those students. They can listen to that lecture as many times as they want.
Yeah.
It seems like a simple step to take. Can you talk about other simple ways like this that groups or institutions can become more accessible for more people?
Sure. So you're right. A lot of students benefit from having recorded lectures so that they can listen to it outside of the classroom. They may be able to process the information a little bit better in a different environment that's quiet and kind of meets their learning needs. And other ways to kind of incorporate multi-learning tools like that. It really comes down to universal design. So it's ways that instructors can deliver content that it can help all students, and it may help students with disabilities even more. So for example, when they're showing videos in the classroom, they can turn on the function for captioning. So then it would show all the spoken word in text.
Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, so it's just another way that students can process language.
Yeah.
So seeing it in text as well as hearing it auditorily. So that's quite a simple thing that instructors in our department can collaborate on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think instructors are doing a wonderful job with creating notes for students online. So recently an instructor has provided lecture materials online to all of his classmates so they can review them after class.
Yeah, like presentations and...
Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so Student Aid BC, can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. So they are the main funding source for students in post-secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So they provide student loans for students,
yeah,
as well as the grant and bursary that I just explained earlier.
Yeah. So
the Canada Student Grant and BC Supplemental Bursary.
Okay. Yeah, those grants and fundings are for all students, right?
The student loan through Student Aid BC is available for all students.
Yeah.
And then there's the specific funding that is available solely for students who have documented diagnosed disabilities.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and there is a financial aid and awards department at UFA, right?
Yes.
So they help students in applying for the grants, right? So you just suggest the students for the applications, or you also help in applying?
Yes. We would help the students apply for the specific grant and bursaries that mm-hmm. they're eligible for.
Yeah.
And then financial aid and awards helps the general population apply. They also help students that are registered with our department, but we take on more of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that department is a separate one, or is that department under your department? Or?
Yes, it is separate from our department, but we do often collaborate quite a lot to support the students.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And students can also apply for other scholarship programs on scholarshipcanada.com and studentawards.com.
Yes.
So can you explain these as well? I mean, how are these different from Student Aid BC, or are they similar?
I think they're quite similar. There may be less restrictions with kind of the criteria that students have to meet in mm-hmm. order for them to apply. And I do know that Financial Aid and Awards has quite a lot of scholarships and bursary options as well available mm-hmm. for students. for all students at UFE.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Scholarship Canada has a lot more opportunities for students as it is across Canada. And studentawards.com is more of a social network for an educational journey for students. So there's a student forum, a discussion area, there's contests that are being offered. And then one to add is NEADS. So that's the National Education Association of Disabled Students. So that fund is for exceptional educational related costs of having a disability. So that may mean that students require medical attendant care in the classroom or on campus. So that could be a way for them to access those funds through NEADS. Another area could be specialized transportation to and from school. So NEADS would cover that as well.
So how do students with disabilities approach to you?
Mm-hmm. So occasionally they are referred from instructors, from maybe high school teachers, but the typical process would be to schedule an intake appointment with one of the accessibility advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And during that intake appointment, we would chat about the students' kind of goals while they're at UFE, their dreams, their aspirations, what supports they may need, what has worked well in the past as far as supports, and kind of create a comfortable environment, build rapport with the student.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the typical intake process.
Mm-hmm. Is there any online form on the website that they can fill out and then they can schedule an appointment with you?
At the moment, we do not have an online form, but that is something that we're working towards.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We have our website where we have lots of information for students, but it refers them to connect with us in person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you help those students to participate in other activities at UFV? Like, do you help them in applying for volunteer jobs or other work-study jobs or in sports?
Yeah. So quite a lot of the students registered with our department are interested in getting involved in other UFV activities.
Yeah.
So, for example, the Peer Resource Leadership Center, they have their mentors. And so a couple of students were quite eager to be a mentor for others. So again, connecting the students with PRLC contacts and, you know, creating a collaboration together and seeing if any accommodations are needed for students to fulfill the mentor role.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one example. We also support students when there's any events. So if students need sign language interpreting, we would arrange for that so that students with hearing impairments can attend and be able to communicate and participate. We're quite involved with Baker House in ensuring that it's an accessible space for students that maybe have mobility aids, wheelchairs, walkers. So connecting with them, making sure that there are places where students can be involved in volunteer work or paid employment. We're always happy to be involved with collaborating for that to happen.
Great. And are there any fees discount for those students?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they have to meet the same financial criteria that everyone else does. Yeah.
And then they can apply for any grants and fundings.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And have you worked in, or are there any, are there generally other organizations that address these challenges for students' issues differently than we do here at UFV?
I think all the other institutions have a similar kind of mandate around accessibility for students and fostering inclusive environments and providing accommodations based on functional limitations. So across BC, I think we're kind of following the same guidelines, and that comes from the Ministry of Advanced Education.
Okay.
And I think we all offer similar services. Yeah.
Okay. And do you get any sort of feedback from the students with disabilities or their parents about the accessibility services?
Yes. Yeah. So we're always open to hearing feedback. Some students prefer to do this in person. Others do it in writing. Mm-hmm. We are working on developing a survey.
Yeah.
So students can identify areas that maybe need improvement or areas that are doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're always looking at improving services for students. So I think having their input is very valuable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some recent feedback we received was regarding the Braille signage around campus. So that would be for students who read Braille. And we were notified that the bathrooms only indicated that it was a bathroom, and it didn't specifically say the gender. So that is an area we're working on because that's very important to identify that. We also received feedback about a trial that we recently implemented this past fall semester, and it was with a note-taking tool called Sonocent. So the feedback we received was that students increased their marks substantially. It enabled them to learn better study skills, organization strategies, and just overall engagement with the course content. So as we implement new programs or different tools, we receive feedback all the time about that. Another avenue that students can express any feedback is through the Accessibility Advisory Committee. So that's a committee we have on campus that is composed of faculty, staff, and a student panel. So students are given the opportunity to share their experiences here at UFE, how self-disclosure was received, how instructors responded to accommodations, and just their overall experience and how they felt while they're at UFE, and if it felt like an inclusive environment. So that student feedback is very valuable to hear.
And do you think that any service needs to be improved or any new services should be added for more help to students?
Oh, I would love to see more services added for students.
Mm-hmm.
Within our department, it would be great to see learning strategists work being available to students.
Mm-hmm.
So that would involve, creating more of a kind of study strategies, time management, kind of teaching those core skills, which would help students be successful in their classes.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we refer externally for that type of support, but it would be wonderful to see that housed in UFE.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, for this special programming, we also have content from one of our programmers.
Okay.
His name is James, and his co-host name is Brian, and their program name is James on the West Coast.
Okay.
And James was talking about various services that CLBC, mm-hmm. Community Living British Columbia, provides to the people with special needs. Are there ways that UFV's services work in concert with those offered by CLBC?
Yeah, yeah. So they provide wonderful services for students. And I think just the population in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we have recently had a woman who works with Abbotsford Community Living, so under the umbrella of Community Living BC, but specifically in the Abbotsford area.
Mm-hmm.
So she came and spoke with our department to share what kind of programs they're running and which kind of programs align with teaching skills to students who are attending post-secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So since that kind of chat with that woman, we've been able to refer a lot of students to community programs and able to kind of enhance their skills and better prepare them for post-secondary.
Yeah.
There's also a program called Work BC, and they help fund students for various programs here at UFE and also provide them with skills and support that they may need outside of the university.
Great.
Yeah. We often refer students to CLBC for support in the way of a psychologist or counselor, and they can help work with students around any mental health issues they may be experiencing. So this is a good referral in conjunction with our counseling department.
And yeah, James was also talking about bullying.
Okay.
Do UFV students ever experience bullying or alienation that comes to the attention of the department? Or is there work that needs or is being done on these issues?
Mm-hmm. So I think there's always work that can be done in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I think UFV is doing a great job for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, with students that have some learning differences or maybe physical differences than other students, I have heard that it can be tough sometimes at university.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, once people get to know one another, they realize we're all the same, and they learn to appreciate the diversity that people can bring. And, we really strive to be an inclusive community here. So I think education is the key piece in that. And I think mm-hmm. everyone around here is open to that education and kind of building support together. So every year at UFV, I think it's around February, end of February, we host a anti-bullying day. So this past one was titled Rise Up, and there was t-shirts worn by a lot of staff, faculty, students, pink in color, and there was lots of buttons that people wore that had words like love and kindness on them. So this was to show support and raise awareness about bullying and discrimination. And so along with that, there was an advocacy fair with short talks designed to disrupt any entrenched thinking and to inspire curiosity and dialogue. So it's just a place for everyone to come together and support each other. So lots of initiatives to, identify and kind of overcome any bullying that is on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing all this information, Jordi. And it's great meeting you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ravinder.
Now I have another beautiful song by Justin Hines called Days to Recall.
Days to recall, days to recall.
It's just
recall. Let's do it at the beginning. Days to
when all the stars they fade into black and leave you without a way back, well hang on, there's always a road. It just takes some time to trust in a dream. There's light in a place you can't see. Believe me, you're not alone. For the walls of your time-ridden heart will continually fall. Cause nights to forget make way for days to recall. Days to recall. Oh. Days to recall. They're awaiting us. Oh, oh, oh. Those days to recall. trials of a faith fleeting day. Well, they don't match the plans that you made. Well, know that it's time to move on. Because you know that there's trouble ahead, and you wait for the call. The nights to forget make way for days to recall. To recall.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire, Cheetos, fleece material, and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute. Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute. You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Said that people disappoint, but pizza is eternal. That adage is being put to the test with Canadians weighing in on pizza, love, and slice etiquette. 6 in 10 Canadians have some type of relationship deal breaker when it comes to pizza, but 1 in 3 have no pizza love limits at all. The top deal breaker was eating pizza in bed at 18%, and closely behind was anchovies on pizza at 17%. Next up were picks the cheese off at 10, eats pizza with a knife and fork at 8%, uses too much garlic dipping sauce at 7%, puts pineapple on pizza at 6%, doesn't eat the crust at 6%, and eats it cold at 4%. So cuddle up on the couch and share some za and some love.
Yeah! The annual
annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival returns to Calgary from June 20th to 24th, 2018. Discover over 250 bands, comedy acts, film, and art in more than 35 venues across the city. This year's festival features guest curator Deerhoof, innovative indie rock act Dirty Projectors, electronic innovators Mount Kimby, versatile folk pop duo Way Oak, futuristic hip-hop titans Shabazz Palaces, outsider pop auteur John Mouse, and many more yet to be announced. Visit sledisland.com for details, travel deals, and to get your festival pass.
Hello, you're listening to Access Day special programming on CITR 101.9 FM and participating stations across Canada through